Hello all, this is Artie Kulik, the host of the Ex-Millennial Man podcast, the podcast for SeedSing.com. Well, it's solo time, it's soliloquy time, it's me just ranting into a microphone time, because I'm here to talk a little politics, and the people who are normally here, they have heard enough from me about this, so I want to tell you guys about this. I want to talk a bit about these college campus protests on the Israeli-Palestinian war that's been going on for about 6 months now. What my thoughts are on it and why I think this is a point. This is a point where our country fundamentally changes. It is a point of history being happening in real time. How the power is reacting to this, what I think it's going to happen moving forward. And then I'm going to end with a sign of hope, because I think we need hope in this. But before I give you hope, let me bring you all the way down. I've told people this week that have asked me my thoughts on this, and again, I have a career in politics. I'm an opinionated person, and I have a microphone, and I have an audience. So yes, I'm going to form a thought about this. That I think it's amazing what these students are doing. I think it's disgusting what our elected officials are doing. I think it's horrifying what the police are doing. And I think what is happening in Israel needs to stop. Now, all that I just said, I'm going to have people out there, well, what do you mean? It's Israel was attacked on October 7th, 2023, brutally by Hamas, who I believe is a terrorist organization. Now, I'm not even 2 minutes into this thing, and the majority of the protest leaders at these college campuses would immediately tell me I'm part of the problem. But you know what? I'm not going to fight with them. I'm just going to tell you how I see it. Hamas is a terrorist organization. They are. Doesn't mean Palestinians are terrorists, but Hamas is a terrorist organization. Screaming support for Hamas is screaming support for terrorists. And not only are they a terrorist organization towards Israelis, they are a terrorist organization against the Palestinians. So Hamas, they're a problem. Netanyahu and the IDF are also a problem. And I'm not talking about heroes in this situation, okay? By all accounts, Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, knew this attack was coming. And due to a variety, I'm not even going to get into them all here, but due to a variety of problems that he has right now, legal problems, he's using this as an opportunity to consolidate his power. And the IDF is committing, from what we've heard out there, pictures we've seen, are committing honest-to-God war crimes. I'm doing this podcast a week after Ty and I talked about the movie Civil War. And there's a lot of people since then that have reached out to me, and they've said things like, well, the Western forces, they are in the right because the president is the bad guy. And like I said in that podcast, there are no heroes in that. There are no heroes of the high power that's going on in Israel right now. Hamas is bad. Benjamin Netanyahu bad. IDF is bad. It's not a black and white situation. We do not have to pick a side. And that's what's happening. People I respect have decided that there is one good side and one bad side. Now, you might say, what about the varying degrees of good and bad? And what is happening to the Palestinian people, to the mothers, to the children, to the men that are just trying to survive is dreadful. And it is disgusting that our legacy media here in the United States will not cover that, will not show the pictures. Thankfully, idiots like CNN and the New York Times and all these people who claim to be good liberals or whatever, they don't mean anything for people that want to go get news. And so I've seen these pictures, and they're horrifying, and they're sad. And I believe what Netanyahu is trying to do, not the Israeli people, what Netanyahu is trying to do is he's trying to remove every Palestinian out of Israel so they can gain the West Bank or the Gaza Strip and use it strictly for themselves. He is done with the two-state solution. Now, before I hear you guys screaming right now, I am not going to go into the folly of the creation of Israel, because that's not what this is about, all right? It's about what's happening now. Now, yes, it is rooted in the creation of Israel, but we've been going over this for nearly a century now. As it stands now, Netanyahu is trying to finish a job that Golda Meir started. But in the here and now, what is happening to the Palestinians is wrong and needs to stop. And I understand these activist students. I understand these students who, let's take a moment to think about the world they are coming of age in, all right? These are students who, these are the Columbia kids, Washington University, UCLA, the New School, who wherever they may be, all of them have a shared experience. They all were children when the children of Sandy Hook were gunned down and our politicians did nothing. They grew up in an age where you would see school shootings regularly, and the only thing we'd have to offer is thought and prayers, or Barack Obama or Joe Biden or somebody crying and nobody doing a thing. They're growing up in a world where the commoditization, the selling of everything, is becoming paramount, where people like Elizabeth Holmes and Elon Musk are celebrated for being innovators when they're nothing but charlatans. When the false myth of free speech and what that means really means that hate speech can thrive. That's who this is the world these students grew up in. And the moment they were going out to pave their path, these Gen Zers that are going to have to save us all, the pandemic hits. And the pandemic showed the inhumanity of American society. Everything was a conspiracy theory. Every government official's lying to you. The vaccine, the companies, all that stuff, everybody's lying to you. Nobody wants to care for you. And then Ukraine, and you have the Republican Party just happily sitting inside of a despot like Vladimir Putin. And now you have the war in Gaza, the Israeli-Palestinian war, and just the inhumanity. And the fact that if you say that Israel needs to stop doing this, the only response you get is that you are anti-Semitic. And Benjamin Netanyahu and the IDF uses that to silence you so they can continue to slaughter Palestinians. So these students, this is their moment. And do I think they're 100% right? I said I got canceled by them right at the top of this podcast. No, I don't think they're 100% right. But I don't care about their argument, except for one that I am going to go into for the rest of this first half. But this is their moment to look at the world that they have grown up in and say it needs to be better. This is wrong. And when I look at some of their core arguments, be it a ceasefire, or be it Israel just getting out of there, or the Jewish people getting out of Israel, or whatever their arguments may be, there's one argument in particular that I am personally drawn to. And that is the fact that they're asking these colleges, these areas of higher learning, areas of research, areas that build the minds of the future. They're asking these colleges to stop investment in Israel and companies that support their military machine. And I'm taken back for a moment. And I'm not naive, but I am still taken back. It's one of those things that when it's said to you in plain English, you're like, wow, that is true. That these large universities, these well-known schools like Columbia, like Washington University, the one in St. Louis I'm talking about, the good WashU, like UCLA, have these large endowments. They sit on these large piles of money. I know I'm going to get this wrong, but I don't want to take the time to get it right here. But I know there's a thing said of Harvard, just with its endowment, or I think it was just off the interest they make off their endowment, they could give every single person that goes to Harvard a free education for like 100 years. That's how much money we are talking about. While in the meantime, Washington University is going to be charging $90,000 a year or something ridiculous. But these schools sit on these massive endowments, these massive amounts of money. And they invest that money so they can get a return. They say it's supposed to be for the school. It's supposed to be to help improvements, whatever. And a lot of them, they invest in military companies, U.S. companies that provide or build military equipment, not just for the United States, but for Israel also. And so these students are like, stop it. I didn't come to school here. I'm not paying you $60,000 to $90,000 a year so you can support a country that is trying to remove an entire ethnic group from it. And that makes perfect sense to me. But what's interesting is as these protests go on, and as of the time I'm recording this, which is on May 3rd, 2024, some of these protests are winding down or they're getting some kind of agreement together, or in some cases that I'm going to talk about, violence is happening. these schools are not divesting from these companies that are supporting this war effort. And I got to ask, why is that? I know the answer, but it still has to be put out there. Why? Why is it so important for Columbia University, who has a huge endowment, or Harvard? Why is it important for them that they invest in companies like Raytheon or Boeing or Lockheed Martin or things like that? Well, what does that have to do with their mission? And these schools I'm mentioning, these are schools that, in the case of Columbia, a lot of the legacy media, they maybe went to Columbia. In the case of, Columbia gives out the Pulitzer Prize. And speaking of the Pulitzer Prize, I know they're going to give the New York Times a bunch of them again, even if Times is going to lie about their stuff or try to cater to right-wingers, even though they still think you're evil. But you need to start giving these Pulitzer Prizes to what's going on, what these student newspapers are reporting. I mean, it was the Ohio State paper that brought attention, the fact that the Columbus Police or the Ohio National Guard or whatever they didn't say it was sniper rifles, just long range rifles. These papers is where you're getting the information of what's going on the ground. You're not getting it from the Times or from Politico or from these organizations that are invested in keeping the power structure where it is. So it goes back now to what's the purpose and why do they have to be so invested in this endowment and where they're able to make more and more money? And I go back to the idea that everything is for sale. Everything is commoditized. It's not a fact that Columbia or Washington University or Harvard have enough money. They want more. Why do they want more? Just to have more. Everything in this country is for sale. Your health is for sale. Hell, I had a discussion with my wife this evening about your patriotism is for sale. There's companies out there that fight the woke mob or whatever. If you want to get your groceries at a place that doesn't do business with California, whatever. Those things exist. Everything is for sale in this country. So why not make these colleges for sale? Why not make these public universities like UCLA for sale? So everything. It's not that they have a need for this. They just have a want. And the moment you challenge that financial want, is the moment you're the enemy. The moment a 20-year-old stands up and challenges it, you are the enemy. And this isn't Greg Abbott in Texas or Parsons in Missouri or even hilariously DePants DeSantis down in Florida. This is Hockley in New York. This is Newsom in California. I mean, we already knew Eric Adams was a fascist in New York anyways, but they're the ones who their power, the establishment power, is being challenged. So they send in the cops. They send in their stormtroopers. And these stormtroopers, they don't come in. I saw this thing, and it's been verified a few times, is on January 6th, the police, with their less than lethal rounds, would shoot them over the heads of the rioters, which is what you're supposed to do. But they don't do that at Columbia or UCLA. They shoot these things right at these students. And then they go on TV and they lie. And then the CNNs and the MSNBCs of the world carry the water for them, for the New York cops who are lying about bike chains and about books and signs they're finding and things like that, because those lies are immediately debunked. And your good old legacy media doesn't do a thing. Because again, you're challenging their power structure. You're challenging the world that they built that is shit. So I give those kids, those young adults, all the credit for the world. And it's not just Columbia. It's not just Harvard. The City University of New York. It's not the privileged. It's not the smartest people who get scholarships and the legacy people that get them because their families have money. It's a city college. Same thing happened to them. Now, of course, the press isn't going to cover it as much because Columbia is still the power structure. SUNY's not. But it's happening there. It's not just happening in the United States. It's happening all around the world. The prestigious schools, McGill in Canada, JNU in India. These are the children of the privileged classes. They know that the world that is built, the world that exists right now, is wrong. because that world accepts the fact of these Palestinians being brutally slaughtered, being poisoned, being shot when they pose no threat whatsoever. Some instances of being buried alive in mass graves. The IDF is doing is wrong. They are not the heroes. Just like in the movie Civil War, the Western forces are not the heroes. And the fact that we have to grasp on to there has got to be a good and a bad is why we are where we are at. Whatever ridiculous argument these students may have, and those of you out there that say, you know what, you can't take over buildings and you can't vandalize stuff and you can't break windows, I get it. Because you're going to hear the double standard about, well, you're mad at the January 6th people, but you aren't mad on the students. No, you can't do all that stuff. But when it's the only option you have, and maybe the January 6th people felt like that was their only option. It wasn't. They were trying to overthrow an election. The student protesters are trying to stop these places of higher learning from investing in death warfare in another country. Are they both wrong? Sure, but one's more wrong than the other. And that's why I think this is a change point. This is a flashpoint for our country. I saw this thing earlier today that a month after Kent State, when the National Guard came in and killed students, fired on unarmed students and killed them, that at the time, Rasmussen or someone did a poll a month after it happened, and 57% of the people said they supported the National Guard, and like another 14% said they did not have an opinion. So almost 3 out of 4 people did not feel like it was a horrid event. And when I say Kent State now, even though I wasn't alive then, and many of you who are listening and not alive, you know what had happened. You know what it was. You know who the villains were in that. And in 30 years, we're going to know who the villains are here. And it's not a 20-year-old with a college textbook that says terrorism or fascism or something, or somebody that used a school sold bike lock to bar a door. It's going to be the police. It's going to be the administration of these universities, and it's going to be our own government, our own elected officials that are going to be looked down upon. Everything doesn't have to be for sale, and we should see evil where it is and confront it. And that's exactly what this next generation of leaders are doing. And I will apply, no matter if they don't want me in their group or not, if I don't align with all their beliefs and everything, which I don't. But I'll still be applauding them because they're inheriting the world on fire. And this is the first step in calling out the arsonists and taking control. Take a breather here. We're going to come back and I'm going to talk about what's next, what I think happens, and why I still believe Biden's going to win the election. See you on the other side.
Hello all, this is RD, and I want to talk to you about something called Public Forum Productions. Now, you've heard me reference it, and if you are a person that looks deep, deep into the notes, you'll see that Public Forum Productions actually is the producer of The Ex-Millennial Man, the podcast you're listening to right now. Well, 2024 is going to be a big year at PSP, and I want to invite you to become part of that. Go to publicforumproductions.com, and you can see the stable of shows we have. It's a network, kind of like, think of it like Netflix, and Ex-Millennial Man is one of the shows. We also have High Heels and Politics, First Watch, Rewatch, and coming in 2024, we already have 2 shows actively in production right now. One is called Where Did You Go to High School? I know a lot of our listeners are in the St. Louis area and are in Southwest Ohio because you guys know Ty or myself. And that's the biggest question. Where did you go to high school? For the record, I went to Lafayette High School in St. Louis, in the St. Louis area. But it's a big, big deal. My son here in Southwest Ohio goes to a really well-known high school, and it kind of identifies who we are. Also, the other show we have working on is called Satan Remembers. It's a history of the 1980s Satanic Panic. That is where we're done planning it. We're getting ready to record, do interviews and stuff. And I want to really make this good. It's going to be a series that's going to go through what happened in the early 1980s and kind of the moral panic and the accusations of Satanism that destroyed a lot of people's lives, destroyed a lot of people's businesses, and all were completely unfounded. And I want to do that now because a lot of what we saw 40 years ago, we're seeing today. So I think it's very important. Again, go to publicforumproductions.com, reach out to me. And if you want to be a guest, if you want to do your own podcast, if you have information that can help us with these things, because like I said, those two shows are currently in production, but we have a few that are in pre-production and I'm going to really need some voices for there. So again, publicforumproductions.com, and let's get back to the conversation.
Okay, guys, I got a little pain of nostalgia when I was thinking about this podcast, how I wanted to do it, and what I think I could offer of any value to a world that I just think is a country, an American system society that I think we are seeing its end days. And back on May 1st, 2015, I turned on the lights to a little website that I called SeedSing. I went through a lot of different names. I was trying to find a lot of them I could not. I think New Way Forward was one or something like that. The URLs did not exist. And so I came up with this idea of the grassroots. What builds a grassroots? It's a seed. That is the basis for everything. And you hear that seed saying, you hear that seed talk, you hear what its dreams and hopes and everything are, that maybe we could get back on the path here. And again, this was 2015, May 1st, 2015. I even said in an inarticulate way with no pictures, I wrote maybe 30, 40 words on how I wanted to launch on National Workers' Day, that we can start to have a discussion that will lead to our society become equal and beneficial for all. I believe then, and I believe now, that things are not equal and beneficial. And I wanted to use this as a way to kind of build a discussion. And in that time, it's turned into a lot of pop culture. Ty has written a million words on pop culture stuff. And I've recorded, hundreds of hours of podcasts. And we've got a great community. I think it's great. You guys interact with us. You talk to us. You tell us a lot of times what we get wrong, and I'm still hearing it about French fries, and I got you guys. Just wait till I do burgers. But I want that. That's what I want. And there's been a lot of things I've changed because of the stuff that you guys have said. And we're not the biggest website, but we've been around for 9 years, and we're still here. Just paid next year's bill. So Squarespace has got my money. And we're going to keep moving forward, and I've been able to build other things out of this that have been interesting. But I think back to 2015 and what I thought the issues were, and I felt like we're living in a world where our government and our society is not doing enough. And then Donald Trump was elected. And then the pandemic happened. And then these campus protests. And I think those three events really kind of almost like hyperspeed the history of this country. And I think of that generation. Who those kids that are out there at the student protests now, a lot of them were maybe 10 years old when I turned the lights on here at SeedSing. And I think about that time period. I think about the time period my son, who's 14, or Ty's kids, who are even younger than that. I think of my nieces, who are both going to be at college here. And this world that they grew up in. And just this, again, it's the commoditization of everything. It's the idea that We praise the charlatans and we put down the innovators. I mean, I could go on. I would recommend you go listen to the podcast Better Offline. They do it better than us. But about just the BS of ChatGPT and the people involved with all that stuff. Everybody is a grifter. And you're being told the only way you can be of value is to be a war profiteering grifter. To be a racist. I want to talk about North Carolina, University of North Carolina for a moment. State's beautiful. I think North Carolina is a gorgeous state, but University of North Carolina, which I've never been to, never really rooted for. I root for them against Duke, though. But there was this whole thing this week about this protest going on, and a bunch of fraternity guys came out and saved the American flag, and they held it up, and all these people started to drown out the protesters, and they were singing Hallelujah USA or whatever dumb crap they do. And it became the cause celeb of all the right-wing media, because I'll tell you what the right-wing media loves to see in this situation. They love to see privileged white men go against the minorities, the people of color, the people who have a non-right-wing ideology.
So their whole idea became, hey, let's throw these frat brothers a huge party. And then there was a big GoFundMe and it's made like $500,000. And has-been country singers are all like, we're going to play it. And they're like, and I kid you not when I say this, they call this thing Flagstock. Always count on the right wing to completely miss the message of everything. If they had a Woodstock, well, we're going to have a Flagstock. And this, I heard somebody say that there's more patriotic students than not patriotic students. And I knew this all along, but it became more aware in my head that if you're a patriot, if you support the police, if you believe in freedom, if you believe in free speech, then you're probably a right-wing fascist. They took all of those words and they turned it into their own code. And so I can hear it clear as day that this was a way for, it's like that dumbass kid from a school that went close to here, the Covington Catholic kid who the Native American was drumming in his face and he was smiling. And then all the media was like, oh, look, privileged white kid. And he's like, I'm not a privileged white kid. I'm going to sue you. He's still a privileged white kid. It doesn't mean the Native American guy was right. It doesn't mean the news media was right. But that kid's still he's another right wing grift. All right. That's what they do. They find their lane and they just sit there and they grift and they grift and they grift and they grift. And that's what those North Carolina kids are. But let's go to a story that is shocking to nobody. Ole Miss University, home of the Runnin' Rebels. And that is what they were. They were retreating ass rebels. But there, you had African-American women and the white fraternity guys there were making racial remarks towards her, telling her they'll give her $100 if she does a push-up. I'm not carrying a $100 bill in my pocket right now. Just vile. Vile behavior. Because like with every action, there has to be a reaction. And while these student protests were maybe starting to get some sympathy, the rich white males have to come out and make sure they claim their spot again. Make sure they talk about their heritage and statues and whatever stupid crap they want to talk about. But naturally, they were going to come out. And there's a picture that came out of, I believe she's Arab descent, but this young woman who is part of these protests with these white men all flipping her off and screaming at her in the background. And it's like, really, we haven't changed that much in 50, 60 years. But I believe we have changed. Because that girl was there. That young woman of color was there against all that hate. And the people that are going to champion that hate are going to be loud. The right-wing media, Fox News, OAN, Newsmax are going to be loud. And the people that will defend that, the thought leaders of our society, our politicians today, that are going to defend that woman of color are almost non-existent. Nancy Pelosi's not going to defend her. Joe Biden's not going to defend her. They're going to constantly talk about how, I mean, the president of Colombia had to come out and say that she had to send the police in after the protesters that took over the school building because violence is not going to be tolerated on her campus. So you allow violence from the police. So you don't tolerate it from students. Everything has to be conspiracy theory to these idiots. Everything has to be, oh, well, you see, they all have kind of the same tent, which they don't realize. It's like the cheapest tent they could all get off Amazon. Everything's got to be some great. They scream about how the protests are anti-Semitic, but everything's being run by evil Jew George Soros. Again, I don't align with the students ideologically on all this stuff. I'm also more than twice their age. I'm also navigating this scorched world around us. They're going to have to rebuild it. And I think they will. Just like Kent State, the Vietnam protests, all that stuff gave rise to a generation that I think burned a lot of things to the ground. But they also, they changed this country. They changed the voting age. Okay. The baby boomers from 21 to 18. I know a lot of you will say, no, that was a silent generation, but still their power. I mean, boy, do I got a doozy for you guys coming up on one of my podcasts about this comic book called Prez, The First Teenage President, written in the early 70s. It's going to blow your freaking mind. But still, these students that are doing these protests, out of these students, and I think more so than anything that happened with Occupy Wall Street or any of that stuff, there are real leaders coming out of this. And they're coming out of schools like Columbia and Washington University and Harvard. And even the ones coming out of the schools we don't talk about, like SUNY and things like that, these students are going to have a seat at the table.
They come from privilege. They have access to privilege. And it warms my heart that they are like, no, 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 no. I'm going to take my privilege and I'm going to create a better world. I'm going to use my voice. I'm going to use my microphone, megaphone, whatever it may be, and I'm going to create a better world. While all the white rich frat boys decide they're going to scream and yell and flip me off and say the worst things to me, I'm still going to hold my head up. I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be beat down. But while I say there are no heroes in this story, the heroes are emerging. I know a lot of the conversation I have with people, and a lot of people are afraid that if Donald Trump wins, he's going to do some extreme things. He's going to jail journalists. Yeah, he will. He's going to jail prosecutors that went after him, district attorneys. Yes, he will. He's going to, I know one of my favorite things I'm going to see is they said he's going to get into office and they're going to add 5 seats to the Supreme Court and there's going to be 5 extra crazy conservatives. Yeah, he'll do that. Absolutely. And if the Republicans win control of both the Senate and the House, they're going to happily let him do whatever he wants. Nobody stand up to him. The question I have is, can he do it? But more so than that, I don't think he's going to have a chance. While the Senate and the House may go to the Republicans, Joe Biden's winning this election. And I'm going to tell you why. There's told a friend earlier today, there are three things that I look at that I say. First one is the national polls. Everybody talks about these polls and it's like Trump's leading the polls or he's tied. How could this be? Da, da, da. And I've said, look, I've been in this business a long time. And anything that has to do with polling, you always have to think about what those numbers are saying to you. And in the case of Trump, he's going to solidly have his 42%. Solid. That sometimes it may float here and there, but he's always going to have it. Republicans have been very good about blindly creating, just vote for the R. That's it. So he's going to have that regardless. And then, you know, Biden's going to have his 42%. So what about that other? I can tell you none of them are going to Donald Trump. But, and I hear you say, because Joe Scarborough says it, I don't know if Rachel Maddow said it, but just your typical liberal talking, as I'm sure Bill Maher's going to make something about it here, that, well, all these students, they hate Joe Biden because he's helping Israel or he's not doing enough, which I agree with him. He's not doing enough. This is what I tell you. Not a single one of those students is voting for Donald Trump. And you're talking about a group that has low voter turnout to begin with. But let's say they're activated. Let's say they all decide that they're going to go out there and they're going to vote for Jill Stein or they're going to vote for Cornel West. They probably won't vote for Robert Kennedy Jr. But let's just say that this is what they decide to do. And I tell you this, they're not all going to vote because of my third point, abortion. While the national media tries to make a horse race out of this, every single state, every single politician that has had to go up against one of these people that believes in an abortion ban or states that want to enshrine women's health rights in the Constitution, they've all won. All of them. So while a lot of these activist students may not want to vote for Joe Biden, enough will. Does that mean it's all good? No. It's a discussion for another day, but I have no idea what the hell's going to happen if the Republicans control both houses of Congress and what they're going to do about certifying Joe Biden's election. Because we're not replacing Mitt Romney with a Mitt Romney. We're replacing him with a MAGA moron. All right? If Sherrod Brown here loses in Ohio, he's losing to another J.D. Vance. So we're not getting more reasonable Republicans in there, all right? And again, that's a discussion for another day, but I want to go back to what leads me hope, because no matter what happens with all of that stuff, no matter what it is, we are watching the emergence of the generation that is either going to allow this country, this grand experiment to end, or is going to rework it into something better. 9 years ago, I didn't know how to do this. 9 years later, I still don't know how to do this. But I'm going to sit behind this microphone. I'm going to talk about it. And while the audience for this may be small, and while a lot of people listening to this may not agree with me, and while a lot of you may think that I'm either making things too simplistic or I'm looking too far into things, I'm still going to do it. And I'm going to keep doing it. And I'm going to keep talking to my wife about it. I'm going to keep talking to Ty about it. And I'm going to keep giving the seeds, the youngest of us, the most thought-filled, the most joyous, the most anything, a chance to talk, to say things about it. So please, I encourage you, come to seedsing.com and tell me your thoughts. Tell me why I'm crazy. Tell me why I should be the next president. I should not be. Tell me why these are just a bunch of privileged kids, much like Occupy Wall Street, that are going to disappear the moment they get their million-dollar Wall Street job or whatever. I have hope for this one. I do. Because they're going to remember the violence. They're going to remember what the authorities did to them. And they're going to remember the carnage, the devastation, the inhumanity of what is happening to the Palestinian people. And before I leave, I am not at all letting Hamas off the hook for what they did on October 7th. They're terrorists. They caused terror. And much like our reaction to September 11th, the bloodlust and the need to want to ethnically cleanse, sociologically cleanse, whatever you want to call it, a group of people, it was wrong for us. It's wrong for Israel. Students, keep fighting, because history will have your back. I guarantee you that. So with all that being said, thank you for your ears. Anything else that you may use to listen to the Ex-Millennial Man podcast, remember, we are here every Saturday for free, wherever you find your fine podcasting shows. And I'm going to be back, and we're getting into, I mean, people, I am stoked. One of the very first things that Ty ever did on this website, as a matter of fact, I think it was a second or third article, was on a little movie called What We Do in the Shadows. And shortly after, I called his old clothes and fedoras, like, about how it's like a hipster movie or something like that. But no, not long after that, Ty wrote a little something about a movie called Mad Max Fury Road. Well, we have Furiosa coming up, and I just cannot wait for that. So we will definitely be talking about those things. I have a big two-part history of Apple computers and all the other good stuff to talk about. So we have a lot of interesting stuff coming up. And then plus we have our 400th Ex-Millennial Man that's going to be coming up soon. So I have some big thoughts for that. But again, thank you. Go out there, have a good beginning of May, and I'll have someone with me to talk to you next time. Have a good one. The Ex-Millennial Man podcast is a production of SeedSing.com, fully owned by R.D. Kulik & Associates, LLC. Producers Ty Kulik and Ryan Kulik, adequately engineered by Ryan Kulik.